roll, please. While you find that, I'll let you know how my devious little mind works. I looked over there, and that whole section's just John and Sharon. So I thought to myself, wow, that must be a really exclusive section on people. And then I thought, well, no, maybe it's the opposite. Maybe it isn't exclusive. Maybe it's just sort of, they're put off on the side. Being shunned, we're practicing Amish.
Pastor,
I told you.
Circulation in the back of my legs.
Oh, okay. And these, well, I figured it had to do with these being better seated. Okay? Yeah.
We can see shunning John, but not Sharon.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, something was cut off.
Like I said, how my devious mind works. Okay. Today I had a funeral. I know I don't usually wear a white shirt, okay? I say that mostly for communion. Hi, Katie. And I usually say that for communion Sunday. Wear it some other times. But today I had a funeral in Shingle House. I got to stay here at the mic. Thank you. I didn't think I was going to move. That's why I didn't put it on. Oh, my. Put the lapel mic. I'll stay here. Okay? And Now I almost forgot where I was at. And I had a funeral. And I had somebody come up to me afterwards, and she said, you know, my husband liked you. And I said, well, that's nice. Well, he heard that you have a sense of humor. And that made you okay in his book. Now, I like being liked, but I wondered about some of the other stuff that I had to say. Because I usually get pretty direct. In this case, the man was saved, and so therefore you can do it. And I was able to challenge him clearly to the matter of salvation. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I don't want to re-preach that. We're at Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. How great thou art, indeed. He created all of this which we are benefactors of. God is the creator of it. And he set his glory, however, above the heavens. Looking at Psalm 8, one of the things that we can see is the care about the world that God created. We are to care for the world that God created. And now I don't, you know, I'm not going to become a tree hugger. That doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, we're going to fall into the pit of worshiping creation. That's not what it's about. But we are to care about the world that God created. We're not to abuse it or misuse it. Okay? And to that extent, there are some things that we hear all of the leftists and do-gooders talk about that, you know, almost instinctively when I'm watching TV and I hear some liberal get up there and start spouting off about the earth and the bottles in the ocean and all of the poor dolphins that are getting strangled by the six-pack containers on the top, you know, and I'm ready to turn it off. But, you know, we are to care for God's creation.
That's right.
We ought not to pollute it. You know, I remember a time when, as a matter of fact, before I retired, one of our deacons asked me, what are you going to do for retirement? I said, I'm going to do an investment in metals. He said, what's that? I said, I'm going to walk along the road and pick up pop cans. And he said, oh, great. And he said, the people around town are going to say, who's that old man that walks along the road picking up a, oh, that used to be our pastor. Yeah. But, you know, we shouldn't pollute. I know there was a time when I first began driving that, you know, it's not nothing about throwing a wrapper out of the car or what have you. That's just what you did. But then we were made aware by those leftists and liberals that we ought not to do that. And you know, we have to admit that. As conservatives, unless you're not a conservative, then you don't fit in this. But as conservatives, we need to acknowledge that that it's we, you know, we're to care about the world that God created. He didn't put it here for mankind to pollute. And certainly as followers of His, we ought to be taking the lead in that. We ought to care about the people of the world. Now we know this when it comes to evangelism. We know this when it comes to the matter of missions. But in general, we ought to care about the people of the world. Again, we must be careful that our conservatism does not set the trend that would have us to avoid the things that God's Word does speak about. There's plenty of things in the Scriptures that call upon God's people. And especially we find this in the Old Testament, as God told Israel how they are to take care of the strangers, how they are to interact with the Gentiles. And then another thing that we have given to us is that we need to care about God.
Amen.
Care about God. Mm-hmm. You know one of our problems? Is we tend to think of ourselves, when it comes to God, always in being on the receiving end. Okay? I think I've shared with you already how my dad used to tell me, he said, Roger, you have the gimmies. I go to him and say, give me a dollar, give me a quarter, give me this, give me that. He said, Roger, you have the gimmies. You know what? A lot of Christians, we have the gimmies when it comes to God. Okay, but we ought to care about God. God wants to just hear from us. I love, Pat and I will pray together. And I love hearing her prayer, because she will just express her heart to God as to what, who God is. And how she understands God. And things that she has read from the Scriptures, and how she'll pray them back to God.
Yes.
And you know, we ought to care about God.
Yeah,
and not just be on the getting end all the time when we pray to God and ask for this and ask for that. Give me this, give me that.
Yeah.
My Heavenly Father could say to me, Roger, you have the gimmies. And God wants us to just go to Him, to love Him. You know, sad to say, I can't remember time when I just ever went to my earthly father and expressed something to him, love, appreciation, that I delighted in just being with him. It's not a very pleasant thought. But this is how it is too often when it comes to God. It's a one-way street. And then another thing regarding this matter of our caring is to care about other Christians. Care about other Christians. One of the biggest ways we do this is to pray for them, to pray for their needs. But not only in praying, which is, I know, an ultimate way of caring, but just to care about them. I mean, like if we don't hear from a person and a need that they have, be it physical or financial, okay, or some other kind of problem, just to care about them. Do we think of others outside of problem relatedness? Think about that. As you think about your brothers and sisters here in Black Creek Baptist Church, how often do you just think of them, are thankful for them, are glad that they're here without having to pray and ask God for something for them? Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I don't want you to misunderstand. But we're to just care about each other. Well, let me break this psalm down for you. I know you're thinking, I thought you did that. No, that's coming now. We need to know know God is creator. And that's verse 1 to 3. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. I don't remember where we were going, but it was nighttime. And as we were driving along, Pat looked out her window and she said, oh, look, there's some stars. You know what my thought was? Well, yeah, that's what's up there, stars. But, you know, we ought to consider the heavens, the work of God, the moon and the stars that he's ordained.
Amen.
And we ought to be taken with it.
Yes.
It ought to impress us. Just to look and to see all of the beauty that God has made. I've heard it said already that just seeing how beautiful the earth is, imagine what heaven will be. Oh, Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works of thy hands. So we should know God as creator and just be overwhelmed by his creation and what he's done for us. I remember one time Pat asked me to go for a walk with her on the country road where we lived. I'm not one big for walking. When I got my driver's license on day 2 of my 16th birthday, that's when I gave up walking. And so I went walking with her, though, you know, keep the little woman happy. I went walking with her to please her. I went walking with her. I apparently walk more than I realize up here. Yeah, I get my exercise up here when I'm walking around. So anyway, we went walking, and she said, see that? I said, see what? And she was pointing down along the road. You know what I saw along the road? Gravel from the winter that they threw, you know, cinders and sand down. She said, no, those little flowers. Just itty-bitty little yellow flowers. I didn't see them. I was too busy walking, you know? And then she said, do you hear that? No, I don't hear anything. What do you hear? She heard some birds. She said, up there. There's some birds. You hear them birds? Yeah. We need to take the time to know this great creation that God has given to us. Some of us are too busy with the mundane. Now, you know, what I want to say is, well, that's okay. The mundane needs attention. Then I remember Mary and Martha. Remember the interaction they had with Jesus? Martha, who was busy doing the housework, complained to Jesus that Mary wasn't helping. And what did Jesus say? You're right, Martha. I'll talk to her. No, that's not what he said. He said, Martha, Martha, Mary hath chosen. Was it the better, the greater? Now, in no way was Jesus speaking against doing the duties of the mundane. But too often, we who focus on the... Do you notice how I said that? Too often, we who focus on the mundane don't get to what Mary sought. That's the danger.
Yes, sir.
Well... The second thing is we need to know who God created us to be, who God created man to be. Verse 4 and 5. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Think of that. Okay? When he says there, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. I think of angels and I think of some great super beings, you know? And indeed they are. Look at all that God used angels for. And we're just a little lower. But the thing is, down here on earth, for God's purposes for us, our duties make us, if you please, let me use my term, higher than angels. Now, we're not higher because he said we're a little lower. But as far as doing what God wants us to do and expects us to do here on this earth, he's chosen us to do it. Not those higher angels. Oh, he has a place he uses them, but 9 times out of 10, no more than that. 99 times out of 10, you say, there is no such a thing. Yeah, that shows how important it is, doesn't it? How we are to be doing on this earth. We know what God created us to do. You see, angels can't do what we need to do. If an angel were to go to my neighbor, well, first of all, they aren't going to have wings, okay? They're just going to look like another person. They're not going to open the door to him because he's a stranger. And therefore, they're going to be reluctant. And the angels don't say, I'm an angel from God. I have a message for you. They don't work that way. But I can go over to the neighbor, as I did here about 4 months ago. I had Pat bake some things, okay? Sweeten the pot. I had Pat bake something. I don't remember what it was, okay? And I took it over to him, and I said, you know, I wouldn't be much of a neighbor if I didn't let you know how much I care about your soul. I've got a booklet here I want to leave with you. I hope you'll take the time to read it. It talks about Jesus and how much he loves you. Now they listened to that. I don't know if they've read the booklet. I'm trying to reinforce that with my interaction with them and with other comments, you know, made along the way. But a man did that. They received it. They wouldn't have from an angel. They might have gone in the house and called the police department and said, there's some weirdo down here coming around, knocking on the doors. Now, you and I, weird as we might be, in this context, are not considered weirdos when it comes to expressing our care for other people's souls. And then lastly is verse 6-9. We need to know what God created man to do. Now, I've somewhat been talking about that, but here's in a different vein. Verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion, that is man, the one a little lower than the angels. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And here again, this leftist who have this worship the earth kind of mentality. No, this earth has been given to us, not to abuse, but to use. We have been given animals. Forget PETA. Forget vegans. God gave these animals for us to use and to eat, not to abuse, but we can eat them. Listen, Paul, in talking, I think it's to the Romans, he said to pray for people. They are weaker in the faith when they think they can't eat meat. Man, I ought to go on Facebook and post that. Oh, I got one nephew who would not like that. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Oh, and he gets real specific here. Yeah, sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field. See, you can have them. You can use them. You can make them work. You can eat them. The fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. All right, so he says fish, but there's other things in the ocean. And whatever passes through the paths of the sea. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Do you know, turn to Psalm 50. Turn to Psalm 50. I think that's the one I want. I'll know when I get there. Yeah, Psalm 50. And verse 10 is the one I wanted. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Yeah, there it is. That's where it came from. Did you know that? You know, I knew it was out of the Bible, but I didn't remember it was Psalm 50, verse 11, 10. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. God owns them all. And he says, we're to take care of them. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 10 gives an important thing. You know, now I think I've told you this, and I really do mean it. I really do mean it in spite of the confession that's coming. I really do mean it when I said we ought to take care of the animals and provide for them and all of that. But you know, they're animals.
That's right.
Okay, that's all I think. They're animals. Now you can count on it before winter, okay? And then especially when it starts getting cold, you're going to see an SPCA promotion send $19, okay? Just like you do when you want to take care of Wounded Warrior or something. Send $19 a month and you can keep this starving dog and then show a dog sitting in snow shivering. Now, that ought not to be, okay? That really ought not to be. I mean, we can kill babies. We can, you know, create abortion, but boy, we sure can't see a dog standing there. So now look, I'm not in favor of starving, shivering dogs. Please, some of you look at me like I've just committed the 11th sin. You say, what do you mean, what 11th sin? I mean, you know, like there's 11th commandment. Thou shalt not speak like you are about animals. But I always figured, well, they're just animals. And then Pat said to me, you got to watch out. Them wives can get you in trouble. And so Pat says to me, have you ever read Proverbs chapter 12? Yeah. Well, look at verse 10. This was when I was going in one of my little rants. Okay. And it says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. But the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. The tender feelings of the wicked are cruel. God cares about animals. And God says that when a person is righteous, he too will have regard. Now it says the life of his beast, thinking of them as work animals. But I have an idea that God doesn't therefore say, but if they're not your work animal, you can, you know, be mean to them. No, he's giving us a principle that we ought to regard animals. Now you got someone like Dustin. Dustin loves animals and chickens too, huh? he loves animals, okay, and fowl. How are you in fish? Okay, the fish can dry up. But fowl, now he didn't say that, I said that. Okay, now some people like Dustin, they come by this naturally, okay? And it's just something that is part of them. And that's good, Dustin. That really is good. And there are others like myself who, you know, well, yeah, animals can, I can have them, I can take them, I can leave them. Whoa, no, wait a minute, my hamburgers come from animals. So I need my animal. Oh, boy, amidst all of this foolishness on my part, a righteous man regards the life of beasts. I think of myself as a righteous man. So God said to me a number of years ago, okay, Roger, get your act together in this matter of animals. Some of you probably won't like this. Maybe I oughtn't to say it. But It was fun at the time. I've since changed, remember? I took Proverbs 12. But I was riding with a fellow. We were going over to Ulysses, Pennsylvania. We were going up the main road out of Cowdersport to it. We were going up the hill, I think around Gold, people that know where it's at. And I was riding with this fellow, and all of a sudden, he stomped the gas pedal down, kicked into passing gear, and off in the berm he goes. And I thought, what in the world? And I said, what are you doing? He said, there's a groundhog. I want to see if I could get him. Now, I don't know, maybe groundhog or a lower form of animals and you don't care, but you know, at the time I thought that was a riot. Proverbs 12:10 says, regard the life of the beast. And therefore I thought to myself, I think to myself now, you know, what was funny at the time, it's a different thing now. Okay? It's a different thing now. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God has given us a great creation. We are to be stewards of it, managers of it.
Amen.
And that means we need to have ourselves in right relationship with him so we can understand how he feels about these areas. Father in heaven, thank you for today. I pray that each would be able to get home before there'd be any kind of storm activity.
Some distance to travel. We pray in Jesus' name.